want to invite you to open your Bibles to 1 John this morning. When you read 1 John, one of the things that I've noticed before is that I think helps you understand the whole letter is that in chapter 2, verse 19, it says that some have left. You're talking about a church that has been shaken because some of the folks have left. They didn't stay. Now, John says they've gone out from among us, but they really weren't ever a part of us. But he acknowledges they've gone, they've left, and I think it has shaken this congregation of God's people. Chapter 4, verse 1, he talks about some others who've gone out. He says there are many false prophets who've gone out into the world. And then in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, I think he picks up on what the consequence is of those who've gone out, these false prophets. And you wonder, is this related to those who've gone out in chapter 2, verse 19? Are they among those who've listened to these false prophets? These false prophets who are against Christ. That's what the word antichrist means. They're against Christ. And specifically, they are antichrist. They are against Christ in that, as you read chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, they deny that Jesus came in the flesh. In other words, they're saying, yes, He's God, but God is spirit. So this really wasn't God who came and lived here and on earth as a human being. That's really not God. They cannot conceive of that idea. They deny, in other words, what chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 is saying is they deny the humanity of Jesus. That He was not like us. That God did not become flesh. They are denying what the doctrine of what we call the incarnation. God became flesh. They are denying that. Well, I think that's an important thing. It's important enough that John says in chapter 2, verse 19, if this is what they believed, I think that's what that's the issue here. He says they never really were among us. It is essential that we believe that God became flesh. John chapter 1 tells us that, stresses that idea, the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says that that Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, tented among us, dwelt among us. Yours may translate it, but it literally is, it makes a verb out of that word tent or tabernacle. And it reaches back to this idea in the Old Testament that God dwelled among His people in the tabernacle. And this idea here is that God came to dwell among us when God became flesh, when the Word became flesh. Why is that such an important idea? Because Jesus came on a rescue mission and He became like us in every way and yet without sin. That's what the book of Hebrews says. Now I want to read an early part of 1 John this morning. Chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, and I want to read through chapter 2, verse 6. And I want you to listen to why it's important that we believe that Jesus came in the flesh. That He was like us, that God became flesh in Jesus Christ. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His Word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for also the sins of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Whoever says we have come to know Him, whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. I think the He there at the end there is Jesus. We walk as Jesus walked. Jesus became like us to rescue us not only from the guilt of sin. Jesus came to rescue us from sinning. Think about that for a moment. Jesus came to transform us so that we no longer think sinning is okay. So that we no longer build a little protected place for sin in our lives. But rather we have a transformed mind in which we think the way we think about sin changes. Look again at those verses, some of those verses, at least that I read just a moment ago. Chapter 1, verse 5 speaks of what God's standard is. This is no surprise to us to find out in chapter 1, verse 5 that God is 100% light, as opposed to darkness. You might think of that in terms of good and evil. God's 100% good and there is no evil in Him at all. God is 100% righteous and there is no unrighteousness in Him at all. That's His standard, 100% light. None at all other than that. Anybody surprised by that? I'm not surprised. I don't think anyone else here this morning is surprised, but that's God's standard. That's God's base of operations. That's God's assumption and our assumption about God. But then notice in chapter 1, verse 7, and have you ever noticed in this section in chapter 1, you have alternating verses, if we do this, there's these alternation, it alternates between we say this, but then don't do this. And the odd numbered verses here, 1:5, 1:7, 1:9. If we walk, verse 7, if we walk in the light. And what's he said about light in verse 5? God is 100% light. If we make God's standard our standard, if our walk, our life, our way of living we make God's standard. Our purpose is 100% light. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, He who is 100% light. Well, we have fellowship with one another. And it's not just talking about fellowship, brothers and sisters. We have fellowship with this 100% light God. We have fellowship with Him. How is that? How can that be? I don't know about you. I remember when I was baptized, but I also remember I've sinned a lot since then. How about you? But you see, when I was baptized, the day I was baptized, what I'm committing myself to is I want from now on not to be a sinner. I've tried to adapt since that time God's standard. I don't want to allow sin to have a place in my life anymore. I want to live by God's 100% light standard. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. How can that be? This 100% light God, and though that's my standard, I've fallen short of that. How can it be that I can be in fellowship with this God whose standard is 100% light? Well, verse 7 says, there's some forgiveness after the baptistry, after baptism. That the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses, present tense, cleanses us. It's not past tense. It's true. We were cleansed of all of our sins when we were baptized, but that's not the end of forgiveness. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from most of our sin. Is that what He says? It has to be all of our sins, because how much light is God? 100% light. In Him is no darkness at all. If we're going to have fellowship with Him, we're going to have to be cleansed from all of our sins. But does that happen? Yes. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins... You know what the word confess means? The Greek word that comes from is homologo. The prefix homo, same. Logo, word. To confess is to say the same word about our sin that God says. That's what confess means. To say the same word, to say the same thing about God, about sin that God says about our sin. It's wrong. We do that when we say our standard is God's standard, 100% light. That's our purpose, is to be 100% light, no darkness at all. That's my purpose. If we confess our sin, I am a sinner. A forgiven sinner, but a sinner. If we confess our sins, if we acknowledge the fact that we do sin, and to acknowledge that we do sin is to acknowledge that we fall short of a standard that we've accepted. 100% light. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and right. Yours may say just, but it's right. God does the right thing to forgive us. Does God always do what's right? Yes, I'm glad somebody believes that. God always does what's right. And John says, He is faithful. Is God always faithful? And will He always do what's right? And John says, in regard to our sins, He is faithful and He will do what's right to forgive our sins. I don't know about you. I think that's some good news, isn't it? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Does God do a thorough job of cleansing us from our sins? Did He at the day of our baptism? Yes. Has He continued to forgive us our sins? Yes. So is this kind of a license for sin? Since He's faithful and He's just, He's right, does that mean we don't have to be concerned about sin? No. We've adopted a different standard. My purpose is 100% light. My practice is false. I fall short of that. And if you read chapter 2, verse 1, John acknowledges that. I write this that you may not sin. Since the day of my baptism, my purpose has been not to sin. That's been my intention. But John goes on and says, and he says this for me, and I think he says it for you. But if anyone does sin. Do you hear that verse? I write this that you will not sin. But if you do. That's us, isn't it? That's me, isn't it? That's you, isn't it? When we stand before witnesses and we say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we are not simply acknowledging His deity, we are acknowledging His kingship. That He's going to run my life. And that's another way of thinking about the idea of adopting the standard of God. 100% light. That's what my intention is. When I acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and King, Son of God, I'm saying from now on, I want to live like Him. I want to adopt the standard of God who's 100% light. That's why John says what he says in chapter 2, verse 1. I write this that you will not sin. Our purpose when we become Christians is no more sin. Our performance falls short of that. There's a difference in our purpose and our performance, isn't there? The fact that I fall short of my purpose doesn't mean that my purpose is no longer 100% light. My purpose is no more sin, but if I do. If I fall short in my performance of what my purpose is there some good news if you fall short of your purpose? Yeah. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. We have one, that word means we have a spokesman. We have someone who speaks on our behalf. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who not only speaks on our behalf, but verse 2 says is the payment for our sin. Speaks on our behalf. He says to the Father, yeah, Greg sinned there, but you know I've paid for that. His purpose is 100% light. And yeah, he sinned there, but I paid for that. I think that's some good news, isn't it? Now, the fact that my performance falls short of my purpose doesn't change my purpose. Any of you ever do any painting? I mean, like, not artistry. I'm not talking about what Mary Toosey does. Beautiful painting. I'm talking about just painting a wall. When I paint, my purpose is not to drip any paint. But I have yet to paint and not drip. That doesn't change my purpose. The fact that there's a drop cloth that I put down there to catch any of those drips doesn't change my purpose. I still try to paint without any drips. I write this that you will not drip any paint. But if you do, there is this drop cloth. That doesn't change my purpose when I'm painting. My performance may fall short of my purpose. But that doesn't change my purpose. I write this that you may not sin. See, that's why it's important that Jesus became like us. Jesus is the propitiation, chapter 2, verse 2, of our sins. And He could pay for our sins because He did come in the flesh. And He did become like us. And God became flesh and God came on a rescue mission. Why is this important? We are all sinners this morning. We are. But we are sinners whose purpose is to do what's right. We are sinners whose purpose is 100% light and no darkness at all. And what this reminds us of is that Jesus came on a rescue mission not simply to rescue us from guilt. Jesus came to transform us, to change us. What we gather around this table for is not simply to be thankful and rejoice that our sins have been forgiven. It is to gather as people who are transformed and being transformed into the likeness of the Son of God. And to be thankful for that. God is not content to leave us as we are. God transforms and is transforming us into the likeness of His Son. We are all sinners, but we are not simply all sinners. We are repenting sinners. And we are sinners who still hold a standard of 100% light and no darkness at all. But if we do sin, there is this advocate who has spoken on, who speaks on our behalf and who has paid for our sins. And that makes for a good life in Jesus Christ.